Once again, good morning. I hope you're all here for the same reason that I am, and that is to worship God in spirit and truth, to learn the great things from God's Word, to be good and faithful and obedient children to God, that we might be able to glorify God this day by our singing, by our prayers, by observing the communion as we have, by the preaching of the gospel. And so we're very thankful that we can be here to do those very things. You know, we're in this, the end of a series, Fight the Good Fight of Faith. And we're going to be talking today on the final side of the pride of life. And I do so want to preach the message clearly, slowly, and be able to come to a good conclusion. But you know, it's kind of like when you are in a hurry to get somewhere in your car. You want to get there really quick, but you don't want to break the speed limit. And I want to get there really quick, but I don't want to break any speed limits. And so, Lord willing, we'll be able to get through this lesson at the proper pace. We ended our lesson last time with the words of Solomon. He wrote these amazing words: two things I request of you, deprive me not before I die, remove falsehood and lies far from me, give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with the food allotted to me. And then he said, lest I be fool and deny you and say, who is the Lord? And then he went on to say, or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. It's a very clear, identifiable statement that Solomon doesn't want to be proud. He wants to be humble. He understood the idea of humbleness. Solomon would have certainly understood the slide that we had in our last week's message: when you think too highly of self, your personhood, your possession or performance, you will therefore think too little of God. And there's something that I want you to know right now about pride. Okay, there is a big difference between being proud and taking pride. We need to know that. As Christians, we should take pride in our appearance, for example, the way that we dress. We want to take pride in our presentation to other people. When people see us, they don't want to see disheveled clothing. They don't want to see us using sensual or filthiness language on our clothing, which a lot of people do. And of course, the type of clothing that we wear, it needs to be a decent covering. As Christians, we want to take pride in the things that God has allowed us to have. Take pride in your car. Keep it clean. Keep it in good shape. Take pride in your home. Keep it neat and orderly. You know, cut the grass. We want to take pride in those things as an example to others around us. We don't want to have grass this high and the neighbors calling the city and complaining about that Christian that lives over there. So we want to take care of the things and take pride in what God has given us. And we also, as Christians, we want to take pride in our faith. Pride in the hope that we have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the fact that He is coming back for us. That's something that the world can't take pride in. And when you take pride in your faith, you're not going to have your faith hidden. It's not going to be under a bushel or hidden under a basket. It's going to be out on the table for all to see. And that's not being prideful, because the idea is to draw attention to Jesus And so we need to be clear, there is a big difference between taking pride and being proud. And so we have to remember what the scripture says in Romans chapter 12 and at verse 3. For I say, though that through the grace that is given me, the apostle Paul says, to everyone who is among you, not to think too highly of himself, more than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. And so we have to have that right mindset. And so let us consider the final part of this lesson of pride. It's really all about the fruits of pride. Most people don't really consider themselves proud. I think that's a very true statement. And I say that because being proud in a negative sense is something that can happen without notice. It's something that can happen without your knowledge even. Most people, they don't think that they're vulnerable for the sin of pride. Yet God, through the scriptures, makes it very clear to us that that's one of the three categories. Remember, our opening lesson in the beginning was from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Do not love the world, neither the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh... We talked about that. The lust of the eyes. We talked about that. And now, as we're finishing up this lesson, the pride of life. If those things are in you, that's not of the Father, but of the world. And so it's made very clear through the Spirit of God as John wrote these things out. And listen, when we think about pride, it's all about what happened in the garden. Right? Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6 where Moses wrote that the woman saw the tree was good for food and delightful to look at and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. When we read that, we see that she saw. So we don't want to forget that the serpent used the lust of the flesh in the garden to deceive Adam and Eve. She saw that it was good for food, lust of the flesh. She saw that it was delightful to look at, lust of the eyes. And she saw also that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom, the pride of life. And so we don't want to forget that the devil, the Satan, that serpent, used those tactics in the very beginning. That was the first thing he did to cause sin to enter into the heart of man. And our unnoticed or unchecked pride can be our greatest enemy. And the devil knows that full well. He knows how weak we are. That's why he used those three things in the garden. And so, when we think about that, we also want to think about the consequences. The Apostle Paul, if you look in Romans chapter 5, and at verse 12, Paul made it very clear, therefore just as through one man sin entered the world, that death through sin, and thus death, spread to all men. Because all have sinned. Okay, let's read that again here. Paul said, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. I want you to kind of think of that with me a second. Because it's important that we understand those words that sin entered the world. Sin didn't at that point enter the heart of man. And I'll make that clear here in a second. Sin entered the world. And death through sin. Thus death spread to all men. Because, this is so powerful, because all sin. The two major kind of sins, I guess, that I've learned from other people, commission and omission. The sin of commission is when you sin against the commands of God. You know what you're doing is wrong. For example, covetousness is a sin against God. When we covet things, when we gossip, that's a sin against God. Lying is a sin against God. Murder is a sin against God. Stealing is a sin against God. Backbiting, cursing, blasphemy. These are all sins that we commit knowing that God has said, thou shall not. We're not to be covetous. We're not to gossip. We're not to lie. We know what that means. Okay. And then over here on the other side, you have the sin of failing to pray, rather. We fail to pray. Or we don't share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And by the way, 99% of the time when people refuse to share it, it's because of pride. And Lord willing, I'll remember to explain that. Not studying the scriptures is a sin of omission. I know I'm supposed to study the scriptures. I know I'm not supposed to fail to pray. I know I'm supposed to share the gospel. And failing to assemble is a sin of omission. What's my point? There are people in this world that are so filled with pride because they're following the teachings of other people. They refuse to accept the teaching of God. And they teach that a baby is born in sin. That baby, if it dies, the soul of that baby goes straight to hell. And they do that out of pride. Because the scriptures obviously don't teach that message. What Paul said there is that sin entered the world, not the baby. Death was spread to all men, not babies. Because all sin, men sin, not babies. How many babies do you know are born covetousness? How many babies are born gossiping and lying and murdering and stealing and backbiting? They're not. How many babies fail to pray? How many babies are not sharing the gospel of Christ? How many babies don't study the scriptures? How many babies are failing to assemble? Those are things that come out of pride. And a baby doesn't have pride. And a baby is not born in sin. Okay, leave that rabbit go. Pride is serious. We need to understand this. Pride is a very serious subject. When you think about this, remember, there's always good guys and bad guys. The protagonist and the antagonist. You have God and you have the devil. The devil is that antagonist. He wants you to fail. He will do everything he can to cause you to lose your soul. To be separated from God for eternity, then nothing would please him more. He is opposed to everything that's good, especially the humility that Jesus demonstrated when he was on the earth. We talked about that in our last lesson, John chapter 13. If you remember that, verses 1 through 17, Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, kneeling down, God kneeling down, washing the disciples' feet. As I have done to you, you also should do to one another. Not washing feet, but being humble was the message. And the fact is that God is on your side. He's the protagonist. He wants you to run the race. He wants you to win and obtain the prize of eternal life, that crown of life, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. That's what God wants. And when it comes right down to it, we must run the race of faith. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have such a great example in Christ. Jesus obviously humbled himself even to the death on the cross, we read from Paul. And Jesus was able to lay aside every weight and every sin which easily would have ensnared him. He was without sin. We need to be as much like Jesus as possible. We need to lay aside the pride that causes us to sin, that ensnares us oftentimes without our notice. And in this, you know what? The devil, he's your opponent. He's your adversary. He's the one who is against you. And what you want is God on your side. You don't want the devil on your side. If we let pride fill our hearts, even the unnoticed pride, if we don't test ourselves and look at ourselves, then we make God our opponent. And that puts the devil on your side. I should say puts you on the devil's side. You don't want God as your opponent. And remember that what God wants to do, God wants to kill your pride in order to save your soul. And so that's God opposes the proud and the devil promotes the proud. That's what Hebrews chapter 1 is all about. That's what Hebrews chapter 1 teaches us. We need to run that race. And that race is a race of faith. And so, let's not forget that. There's another saying out in the world that the way up is really the way down. And there's a lot of truth in that saying. The way up is the way down. It's the complete opposite in the world from what God wants. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, Jesus said. And who humbles himself will be exalted. You see how that works? God says, humble yourself and you'll be exalted. James says, humble yourselves in the sight of God and he will lift you up. Peter wrote, likewise, you younger people, this is all about the young people here, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. You remember from our last lesson, Job chapter 25 and at verse 6. How much less man who is a maggot and the son of man is a worm. I had an unscheduled Bible study. I think it was Friday night with some guys that are trying to sell me AT&T internet at my house. And we, as I always do, got into a discussion about the Lord, and it lasted almost an hour. And one of the things that that they kept saying to me is, wow, Dave, you know, you're just amazing. You're a great teacher, and I've never heard this kind of talk before. And what did I tell them, Sharon? I said, don't put me up on a pedestal. It's not me. It's God. It's all about Jesus. We need to be like worms and maggots in the sight of God so that we can be humble, so that God can mold us like clay, and that we can become what He wants us to become. But when people praise you like that and put you in a place you shouldn't be, you need to let them understand, I don't want to be there. That's not my place. That's God's place. God says, humble yourself and you will be exalted. Exalt yourself and you'll be humble. So that means humility is critical if we want to receive God's grace. Very important. I want you to notice the contrast in these Proverbs. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride will bring him low. When we don't humble ourselves, we'll be made low. But the humble who are low in spirit will retain honor. There's the contrast. Look at the next one. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. So we have pride, we're going to be made low. We'll be humble, we're going to be raised up. When we have pride, we're going to have shame. And when we're humble, we'll receive wisdom. I think that's really clear as you look at that. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah, it's God literally talking, for thus says the high and lofty one. This is God. God is the one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. He is the one that we should bow down to. He is the one that should humble us. And He says, I dwell in a high and holy place with him who has a contrite heart and is humble in spirit. This is God. This is who He wants with Him. The one who will receive the spirit of humility. And his heart will be revived. That's who God wants. 1 Peter chapter 5 and 6 again. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And he will exalt you in due time. That's what Peter said. All of these things are what God wants. And when it comes to the bottom, we have to resist pride. And it's for a really, really good reason. Because when we don't think that we need God, when we think that we're already high and mighty and we're self-sufficient, we don't have God. We must resist pride for a good reason. Because when we don't have God. That simple. And we need to commit that thought to memory. We're talking about the fruits of the pride. Remember Edom, Jeremiah 49. In verse 16, he says, your fierceness. These people are living up there. They think they're all powerful. Nobody can overtake them. And he says, your fierceness has deceived you, the pride of your heart. And he says, I will bring you down. You're up on that mountain like the eagles. I'm going to bring you down. And what happens is we start to say certain things without even thinking. Like, I tend to be self-sufficient. I don't need people. I live my life. Right? I don't live, when somebody says that, they don't live with a constant awareness that every breath they take, every moment of their life, it all depends on God and the will of God. We start to think we have enough strength to get through, we have enough ability, enough wisdom, and we can manage our own lives. And we might be thinking that way and not realize that's pride. Some people say, I fear men more than God. And you know, you might not say, you outwardly, you're going to say, I fear God, not men. But you know what? The telltale sign, I'm afraid to talk to people about the things that are right. I'm concerned how people will think about my presentation. I need to walk on pins and needles. I need to be really careful. I don't offend anybody with what I say. That's the same thing as saying I feared men, not God. Think that through. Because a lot of people use that. Members of the church. We forget the fact that Jesus offended a lot of people with the truth. He did it in love because he wanted them to learn the truth. He wanted them to be saved. But he wasn't going to hold back the truth in love. He was going to speak the truth in love. And you can't do that if we're worried about how people will react to the message. And, of course, the idea of I want people to be impressed with me, my accomplishments. I want to be known for the things that I do. And that's another thing that we can do without saying. I find myself hiding the truth about me, my sins, my weaknesses, and so on. And so those are all things of pride. And I don't want people to know who I really am. Two-faced, hypocrite, pride. We note that pride is deceptive. We need to help to see the fruit of pride because, right? The devil doesn't come up with a big red flag waving it around going, pride, pride, pride. We need that help. Because all the ways of man are pure in his own eyes. We need help to get away from that. Every way of man is right in his own eyes. We need to help to get away from that. Humility literally is the door to freedom from sin. And so we need to think about what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 at verse 5. We need to be able to examine ourselves, test ourselves, make sure that we're in the faith, and make sure we're not proud. We look at ourselves, look at the things that we've said and done and what we do, what we don't do. Make sure pride's not hidden in there somewhere. Remember the saying that, you know, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. We've all heard that, I think. We can do it the easy way or we can do it the hard way. You know what the hard way is? Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 16. I mentioned it earlier. I will bring you down from there. If we don't put a check mark on our pride, if we don't pay attention to these kinds of lessons and we don't recognize that we're proud in different aspects of our life, God will bring you down. He will make you humble. And that's not what you want. But what's the easy way? You know what? Confess your sins. 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number two, be like David. Remember David in Psalm 1 and 39. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Right? Try me, he says. And know my anxieties. See if there is any wicked way in me and thoroughly cleanse me from my iniquity. That's what David wanted from God. Psalm 51 and 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from all my sin. That's what David wants. And the last one is obey the scriptures and humble yourself, right? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. We've read it. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you in due time. I want you to remember that we are at war. We're to fight the good fight of faith. And that war is a lifelong war for a Christian.
That war doesn't end literally until the day you take your last breath. We can be tempted laying on our deathbed, so to speak. It's a lifelong war, but it's also a lot of battles. Battles are fought and battles are won. Battles are fought and battles are lost. There's battles every day, and one of those battles is the battle against the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And when we put to death those three things, and we put on humility, we experience freedom from sin that so easily ensnares us. And we have a greater ability to walk in the light, in the likeness of Christ, and to be examples to the world. And to be more useful, if you will, to the Lord. And our very lives will glorify God in all these things. If you've not obeyed the gospel, is that because of pride? Is there something that you're unaware of in you that could be or has been described as pridefulness? If so, today, you need to put away your pride and you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make that faithful confession. Repent of your sins. Be baptized into Christ. Have those sins removed and walk in a newness of life. If you're a member of the body of Christ and you recognize that you do have this kind of a hidden pride that you weren't even aware of, make it right today. Repent of that sin and be restored once again. If you have a need, please don't hesitate. Make today the day and come forward as we stand and sing song number 585.